Afternoons with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Harsh words there from ESPN Radio. That was unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle. And that's Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman. And it is about as harsh of a thing as I've heard anyone say about Aaron Rodgers. And people say harsh things about Aaron Rodgers all the time. But toxic, that he is a cancer, that is metastasized. I mean, you know, I don't know how I feel about that language or whatever, but it's how he feels, and that's what he's saying about him. And it is a bad situation there in New York, a Jets team that is underachieving, that I think a lot of people expected a lot more from when they brought in Rodgers, even though he was injured last year. You're talking about a team that had the offensive and the defensive rookies of the year a couple years ago in Gardner and Wilson. And it seemed like any time a team has that at important positions like wide receiver and corner, the best two rookies in the league, you think they got something good going on right there. A building block. We talk about building blocks with the Patriots all the time. Patriots would kill for building blocks like that. And somehow they're still managing to just jets this whole thing up again. And Aaron Rodgers has become the model for it. Despite the fact that they fired the coach, I mean, that excuse is gone. Rodgers is still there. He's not playing well. Only 15 points against the Steelers last week. They've lost four straight. Their last win was against the Patriots, which is probably going to be another get-right game at Gillette this weekend. But you think if the Jets do win, it's not going to be because they have the better quarterback.
No, I think he's been a mess. And I think it's a little bit like Gerard Mayo's mess, where there's a mess on the field. Mm-hmm. He's throwing picks. He's thrown six interceptions in the last 3 weeks. He's making throws that the old Aaron Rodgers would never make. Aaron Rodgers never threw interceptions. Remember he went like forever with no red zone interceptions, like the whole thing.
So far in the year is 10 touchdowns and seven picks.
Seven picks. Mm-hmm. Seven, and I think six of them in the last three
in
games.
Seven games. Yeah, they've only played seven games.
He has been brutal, but I actually don't think that's the worst of it. How he's throwing the football, I think it's the aura, the air about him. You look at him, every play he's just looking disinterested, up at the lights, like, I can't believe he's in this mess that's going on around him. And there was even, if you're a believer that it's just never going to work in New York with Rodgers, the Jets are going to Jets it, I thought the first throw last week to Davante Adams was the example of that. He kind of overthrew him out in front, and it was incomplete. And it was almost like, oh, no, they don't even have it anymore. Like, that could have been a moment where it starts something. Oh, first throw to Adams, boom.
Touchdown,
they're back,
right,
the whole thing. And even that didn't work. I think he had three catches on 11 targets or something like that. He tried to feed him the ball. He was out there the whole game. They are a mess. Meanwhile, the one good, like, there, it seems like they're arguing the biggest problem is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Here we're arguing maybe the biggest strength, the only strength, the only bright spot is the quarterback. He is a positive energy source. I think he's leading as best he can, which is weird. The GOAT, his GOAT, not my GOAT, but his GOAT, has all the experience.
Hashtag not my GOAT.
Not my GOAT. Has all the experience. He should be leading, right? They got so much talent on that roster. Definitely. Rodgers should know how to push it. He's Mr. Relax, R-E-L. He's lived all these ups and downs. He's a detriment to that team. And they're having a culture off. You just heard it right there.
Yep.
You got two bad cultures colliding. What happens? It's almost like last week when Kendrick Bourne said two bad football teams come together. What happens? Well, we found out. The Patriots still lose.
We did.
If two bad cultures come together and play, who loses? Probably the Patriots. But I don't think it'll be because of Drake May. I think it'll be because that team, top to bottom, has more talent on it and can do more. They can probably run the ball on you because people can run the ball on you a lot lately. Probably more like 2 weeks ago. Wouldn't surprise me if you saw some big runs out of Breece Hall and, you know, the Allen kid and what they're doing.
Well, normally going into a game, right, you look at, well, who's the better quarterback?
Usually
and
you take
and you
the team.
Judge it off of that. Well, okay, the team with the better quarterback is probably going to win this weekend.
So you tell me I have to pick the Patriots?
I'm not saying you have to do anything. I'm just saying that's generally how people gauge these things.
But,
right? The team with the better quarterback is generally the team you pick to win the game.
Right.
You're not picking them this weekend, are you?
We're not there yet, but no, I'm not.
I'm definitely not. I think the Jets are going to smoke them like they did the first time.
I want to be clear, because I know this always happens with you people in radio.
Right, yes, us people.
This is not a bit. This is not a bit, like, I firmly believe, and Curran agreed with me when I explained it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on totality, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played the game.
Right.
Physically gifted, Hall of Famer, all of that. Right now, he's not that. He's in a Rodgers jersey, and he looks like Aaron Rodgers, but you're not getting Aaron Rodgers' performances out of that guy in that jersey.
Okay, if the Patriots are playing the Chiefs this weekend, Patrick Mahomes is not having a Patrick Mahomes season. Would you say he's better than Patrick Mahomes?
Well, but I think Patrick Mahomes is making the plays to win football games. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
He's got like 8 interceptions and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's
touches,
making mistakes.
Like,
you can't just look at the numbers.
He's having a very poor year.
Can't just look at the numbers. He's making plays when he needs to make plays to win football games. The defense has been really good. You can't run on them. There's a lot of things that have been good for them. But I think there'd be a debate.
Mahomes is averaging 231 yards a game, 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions with an 82.5 rating.
Okay. So you're making – okay, you're proving my point.
Well,
forget
no, I'm
it.
Saying you have
the Patriots
to,
have
you
a better
have
quarterback
say.
Than the Chiefs and the Jets.
So you have to say
I'll
now
go all in.
That he's better than Patrick Mahomes.
All in.
All right.
He is playing better over the last two weeks. I may have been swayed
I'm
a little
bit. I'm glad we got there.
I may have been swayed by the two backup quarterback analysts that I watched yesterday that were just gushing about everything Drake made. Because you know I like him and I want to like him.
Of course.
And then you watch what is essentially like a 20-minute propaganda video. It's like brainwashing. And you're like, oh my God, it's even better than I even thought it was with every step and three-step this and pop and drop. And they're bitching about Jalen Polk. The numbers should be better. He's making throws that other guys are letting him down.
It's like
so,
what they
okay.
did to Jason Bourne, only it's all Drake May highlights.
Yes.
They're like dumping your head underwater
yes.
and pulling you back.
That's me.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So you're right. I'm all in. He's better than Aaron Rodgers, and he's better than Patrick Mahomes right now.
How about that? You heard it here first. All right, let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Gavin is in Bellingham. Hi, Gavin.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
What's up?
Not much. How come they just don't get rid of Van Pelt, but maybe keep him for the quarterbacks coach and bring back McDaniel?
Get rid of Alex Van Pelt, keep him as a quarterback coach, so don't get rid of him, just reassign him.
Yeah.
And bring back Josh McDaniels to call plays. I don't hate it, although I don't love the idea of just running it back with more ex-Bill people. I think that's a little ridiculous. You
yeah.
know, if you're going to move on, let's move on. If you want to just keep recycling all the old Bill people without Bill being here, I find that to be a little.
And what are we running?
Right.
Because I think those two would kind of, not that they'd butt heads, because I think there's crossover in a lot of NFL offenses now. But is Josh overseeing everything? Is it his offense? We're reinstalling his offense?
Does he have eyes on being the head coach, you know? Like,
right. Yeah. I'd also think there'd be weird there because Mayo's like, wait a minute. What's he doing here?
Right.
Is he here to take my job? And I like Josh. I think Josh is a pretty good offensive coordinator. I'd like to go to the examples. You know, everybody likes to bitch about what happened when he was a head coach. But Mac Jones, Matt Castle, Tom Brady. It's not just Brady that he rode to success.
Mm-hmm.
He had
sure.
some other years in there where he was successful under Bill. That's one of the other problems, too. If he comes in under Mayo, there's no strength of hierarchy above him.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, for all the attitude problems Mac had or didn't have, that rookie year of his with McDaniels on his hip pretty much all day long, all
yeah.
throughout the game, he responded well to that. I think Mac legitimately enjoyed being coached by Josh McDaniels. I think that there was, and I know that it's easy to say that when the next year it's Matt Patricia and Joe Judge.
Probably even more so retroactively when he went to the next steps in his
yes,
career.
Yes, and I think that had a lot to do with it too, but you didn't hear about attitude problems. You didn't hear about him being a bratty diva, whatever, tennis kid. He was just a rookie quarterback who seemed like he was on a pretty good trajectory after mm-hmm. his rookie year. It seemed like he was on the rise and that this was a good thing and that, you know, losing Josh McDaniels was a problem and that's too bad, but don't worry about it because this kid's off to a great start in his career and it's only going to go up from here, and obviously it didn't. So, something to keep in mind. Let's go to Joe in Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. I think, like, this season's been a success for the Patriots. The main goal to come in was to develop a franchise quarterback in Drake May, and they've done it. Drake May is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, he's better than Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you heard.
He's better than Patrick Mahomes
quarterback
and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Not there yet, but, I mean, he's definitely at least equal with Aaron Rodgers and probably going to pass him pretty soon. And, I mean, if they want to win the game this Sunday, the best thing they could do is put Drake May in the shotgun with 5 wide and just like have him throw it every down and win in a shootout. But the thing is, as long as Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo have the confidence of Drake May, they're going to be back. And I mean, you say like the whole point of this season is develop franchise quarterback. Next year, the Patriots will be a playoff team because they're going to have a lot of draft picks, a very high draft picks to infuse a lot of talent on the roster. And they have a lot of salary cap space And like other top flight receivers in the league are going to see Drake May. So like T. Higgins might shake loose from Cincinnati and say, oh, yeah, I'll come play for Drake May.
You think so, Joe? I don't know, because the wide receivers in the room right now, I want to get traded away from Drake May. All right. So, I mean, let's not start talking about, like, I know you, this is one of your things too, Andy.
Damn
Drake
right.
May is going to be a one man recruitment video. He's not the wide receivers in his team right now don't seem to be all that in love with him. Let me put it to you that way.
It's because they're dinks.
Maybe they are. Maybe T. Higgins is a dink too. Maybe, you know, Cooper Kupp's a dink.
He's a better dink.
Maybe he is. I'm just saying. That doesn't make them necessarily want to come here. You know,
the $35 million is going to be
what
lures him first.
Right.
And then
T. Higgins isn't going to want to play with Drake May over Joe Burrow. I mean, no one thinks that, right?
If he's the number one. Because that's where you get into the dinky diva attitude. I can make $35 million there and be the number one go-to guy for Drake May.
Right, but it's the $35 million because right now he's putting up number one type numbers. If they give him that money, then he'll take it and he'll stay there. But
I'm not sure
it's going to be between him and Ja'Marr Chase. I think they end up keeping both of them. We'll see. I don't think that they want to mess with the only good thing they got going there in Cincinnati right now. But who knows?
But
stranger things have happened.
Joe's point about everything's fine because May is developing, I disagree with, because I never thought, because I also, the foundation was the word they use.
Mm-hmm.
Lay a foundation.
Yep.
Part of the foundation is culture. And we're talking about the Jets the same way. Do the Jets have enough talent to be a playoff team? Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely. So what's the problem? Well, culture. They just said it. The defense still likes the head coach who's already been canned. Like, the quarterback's a dink. He's a cancer. They hate him. This and that. So if this culture doesn't improve, I don't agree with the idea that just because you bring in T. Higgins and Drake May, they're going to go to the playoffs. It might make it worse, because now we're wondering, wait, they do have talent now. They brought in these players. The left tackle isn't a bum. He's actually blocking people. Why do we suck? Oh, maybe because everybody in the locker room is still a dink, and the head coach can't control all the dinks, right? Like, so as much as the Drake May idea was definitely a widely held theory, the absolutely dumpster fire culture is overshadowing that right now. And I don't know how you fix that with the same guy. Don't tell me just because Drake's here next year and a couple new free agents, does that make Jerod Mayo a better culture setter?
I don't think so.
No. So that's a problem that you have to figure out.
Either
he needs to get a lot better, or you have to have a tough conversation at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, they had a bunch of draft picks and a ton of cap space this offseason. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to be so much different next year, and they're all going to figure out how to do it and all the right guys to bring in and draft better and spend more money in free agency. I'm sorry. I'll believe it when I see it, and I'm not sure I'm going to see it. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Here's Jackson to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, the wide receivers on this team. Alex Van Pelt says they need to look inward. Maybe they need to look outward. We'll get to all that next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, the Bruins and the Celtics return to action tonight. The Bees host the Dallas Stars. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7. And here is Andrew Raycroft talking about the incident between Monty and Brad Marchand. He doesn't think it's a big deal.
Brad, as the leader of the team, as a guy who's been here for 14 years now, understands that he's just like any other player. So I think that I've never heard that there's an issue personally in any way. I think Monty was upset with a player who made a bad turnover, and I'm sure everyone's okay with that.
That was Raycroft on the Midday Show, Jones and Keefe. If you missed any of the interview or any interview that you hear on here on WEI, just download the Odyssey app and you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. The Seas are in Washington to play the Wizards tonight. That game tips off at 7. The Patriots practice today, and they are getting ready for the Jets on Sunday. And Andy thinks that Drake May is way better than Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, let's put the W on the Patriots.
Damn right.
Yes, let's go. I agree. I'm going to strap my wagon to you. Week 8 in the NFL begins with a Thursday night football matchup between the Minnesota Vikings and Los Angeles Rams. Kickoff at 8:15. You can catch the call of the game right here on 93.7 WEEI. Westwood One's coverage will begin at 7:30. That is what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Now, more of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Offensive coordinator talking this morning. Both coordinators spoke this morning. Covington had a little bit to say as well. He responded to Bill Belichick and some of the things that he was saying, but I want to talk about what Van Pelt had to say right there about wide receivers needing to look inward. This sounds like a desperate plea from a desperate guy, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. Like, come on, guys. Stop talking. Just please, can you just please stop? Every single one of you has got to come out and do an interview. Every single one of you has to complain and bitch about not getting the ball. Can any one of you, I don't care who it is, can any one of you just stop? Please just stop. And Bourne, I guess, to his credit, is the only wide receiver who's not popped off about this yet. And maybe it's because he hasn't been on active for that long. He's only activated a couple weeks ago.
But he still actually took blame for the drop.
He did.
I actually thought was kind of a drop. Drake May has
talked
100%
about that was on.
I missed him.
He didn't hit him in stride, but you got to catch that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so Bourne is trying to be the adult in the room. Absolutely. But you're right. Alex Van Pelt reminds me of, you haven't reached this phase, I don't know if you'll go there, but when you have like multiple kids and your wife's home with both of them and they're both being just jackasses and mm-hmm. you walk in and she's like, can you just, I need like 2 minutes. I need to just walk away and get my sanity back. That's
we get that with the one kid a lot. Yeah,
okay, so. Well, yeah. Well, good luck if you have any more.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, looking forward to that. Anyways, the injury report is out for today. Jalen Polk, Layden Robinson, your non-participants. Polk with a concussion, Robinson with the ankle. Following players are limited. Daniel Aquale, Anthony Jennings, Jonathan Jones, Michael Jordan, Vidarian Lowe, Raekwon McMillan, Sidy So, Sione Takitaki, and Keon White. Full participants. Kendrick Bourne, Kyle Duggar, Curtis Jacobs, Marte Mapu, Ramondre Stevenson,
ooh,
and removed from the list altogether is the best quarterback in the NFL, according to Andy Hart, Drake May. Not even on the list.
No more
MRI.
He's
not a problem. No MRI, no nothing. So there you go.
See, he's even healthier than Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, it's true. I mean,
he should be.
Better than Rodgers in pretty much every way, I would say.
You haven't made your argument for why Rodgers is better.
Right now?
Right now.
Right now?
This stretch of games, that is all we can compare, because Drake May didn't play before.
Here's why I would say Aaron Rodgers is still better, because I expect Rodgers to go out and have a better game this weekend.
Well, that's not fair.
Why is that not fair?
If Drake May got to play the Patriots, he'd have a better game, too.
I don't know about that. I don't know exactly what we're seeing yet with Drake May. It's two games, okay? And it's been two good games.
Two good ones.
I've enjoyed these two games.
The second was better than the first.
It was, and that's fine.
So trending the right way.
It is. It's trending upwards over two games. Mm. That's not going to take away from the entire career sample size we have here from Aaron Rodgers, who has had some down moments in seasons before with Green Bay, and his MVP seasons weren't always perfect.
This is the worst he's ever played.
Up. He's not playing well right now. I agree with you there. But I also think it's a little early to completely rule him and the Jets out of everything. I'm not quite there yet.
Can we have a quick timeout where I have a little bit of honesty? I'm
sure.
A little worried about Sunday. I do think right now, the last two games, Drake May is playing better than Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. But you can see the bubble bursting this weekend, maybe?
I feel like all young quarterbacks have those games. Tom Brady had one. I can still remember it now. Tom Brady hadn't thrown a pick, and then I believe he threw four in Denver. It was like, oh, okay, there's a little human young quarterback in there
right.
at times. And this Jets defense, I think, has talent, not only at cornerback, but up front. Guys like Quinn and Williams seem to always be hitting Patriots quarterbacks and things like that.
Sure.
So he could get hit, and the first one is a pick, and then he starts pressing, and he's trying to make plays.
That one guy on the Jets was everywhere. He was, what's that guy's name? He was just taking people's heads off. He's the one who body slammed Drake May. Sherwood, I think. Sherwood or Wilshire or something. Some weird British name, I remember. But yeah, he was.
Sherwood Forest.
Sherwood Forest. I think that was it. And he was out there, he was cleaning guys' clocks. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it's the Jets. It's a division game. Weird things sort of always happen there.
And the receivers.
Nothing
I
really
happened
I think
that's an there.
Issue. What?
Like, I think he could, as a young quarterback, think about, oh, I got to get the ball to this
yeah.
guy. I'm going to take a chance. And if you start doing that, if there are other factors other than just what your reads are, what your coaching is, what your play takes you to, that can hinder you. And I'm a little worried about that. But now back to reality.
Kayshawn,
he's the best quarterback in the game.
Kayshawn Booty's a guy who's getting the ball, right? Wouldn't you say? Like, out of all the receivers, like, they're looking for him. They're running plays for him.
Certainly as a playmaker.
He's making plays when he gets it, and they're, you know, it's not like he's someone who just gets completely ignored out there. And he's popping off. Like, everyone's got something to say. It's unbelievable.
And you just reminded me. So Drake May said something yesterday during his press conference, flippantly said, for the love of the game routes.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the media was like, excuse me, for the love of the game, what does that mean? And he's like, they're basically clearing out.
Yep.
You're not getting the ball. You're a decoy. I don't think any of these guys have the for the love of the game routes down.
They want the ball every time. None of them want to clear out for the other guy. None of them want to draw the safety over so-and-so can catch the ball. They are me. And, yes, he's been making some plays down the field, but apparently it's not enough for him.
You're not seeing a lot of, like, pick play. You know, not that you're supposed to do that, but they do it all the time. Rub plays and stuff like that. You're not seeing guys spring open from those. Maybe it's happened, but you're not seeing a lot
probably
of it.
Probably because they're
not
all fully invested in it.
Could be.
I'm not going to set a pick for you. You're going to set a pick for me. They're like, me. Like, I think that group is, if you could, you almost want to just bench them all. And you know what? We'll just go three tights. Jaheim Bell, you haven't said anything yet, right? Do I need to check your social media? But Jaheim Bell, Hooper, Henry, we're going three tights. We're going to run it. We'll throw to those guys. Screw y'all. When we go to wide sets, we'll put running backs. Hasty, he seems like he's enjoying his opportunities that he's getting. Yeah, can you ever just bench all the receivers?
I wonder if some of them might get moved. We're close to the trade deadline.
Yeah, but can you move them?
I don't know.
Who wants KJ Osborne?
Addition by subtraction for some of them, I think.
Maybe the Niners, a team like that with just pure injuries, is like, we need a body.
We need something.
He's an NFL wide receiver. He played in Minnesota. Because it's nice to want to be traded, but what, I guess, conditional seventh round pick for him type thing.
Yeah. Cash considerations, they still do that?
I don't think that's allowed in the NFL.
Not sure that's a thing in the NFL. It definitely isn't baseball. But yeah, and I don't even necessarily think that you're doing it for the draft capital. You're doing it just to clear some of this toxic crap out of that
room. Addition
by
subtraction.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And I don't have a problem with them doing that.
But how many can you subtract?
I mean, you tell me. Tell me when to stop. Keyshawn Booty, KJ Osborne.
Yep.
Tyquan Thornton.
Yep.
Baker.
I mean, those two.
Douglas probably the only one with any trade value.
Yeah, because he bitched earlier.
Right.
He's done bitching. He's happy now because they get him the ball when he's not pooping his pants.
I'd imagine he's the only one in that group. It may be Bourne, but I think he's probably the only one that has any trade value beyond a conditional seventh or whatever you just said.
Yeah, like, it's nothing. That's the other part of this, that like, they can't even trade you if they wanted to. No one has any interest in you. We need you because we don't have receivers.
The entire room right now is kind of like Costanza driving around with the trophy being like, yeah, attention Yankees, you stink. Like, you know what I mean? Trying to get fired. That's kind of what they're doing. It's like they're trying to get cut.
Yeah, and maybe they will get cut.
And good luck, because I don't know if anyone's going to pick you up.
I would cut somebody.
Yeah.
I think they've reached the point where they need one of those symbolic gesture cuts, like send a message to the rest of the locker room.
Right.
We're done doing all this crap. We're not just going to look inward. We're going to actually look outward and kick yourself to the curb and say good luck in your future endeavors, because it is almost remarkable. And they would have a better feeling for this than we do. Doesn't everything have to have a ringleader? Doesn't everything have to have kind of a tone setter in the wrong direction?
Sure, like the clubhouse lawyer or whatever, right? Yeah, that guy.
So shouldn't they know? Shouldn't they know that it's Tyquan Thornton or it's KJ Osborne or whoever? I don't know who it is because I'm not in that room all the time, but I feel like the assistant coaches should know, or the veteran leaders. Maybe you need a narc. Maybe you need Kendrick Bourne to be like, I'm telling you, it's Osborne. He's got to go. Or whoever. Somebody's got to go.
Yeah. Or it could be as simple as everybody's very, this is what Bourne said, it's all very individualized. Everyone's just in their own little bubble. There's no real ringleader, but they all just kind of feel like, hey, I should be the best guy on this team, and I'm not, and I'm going to bitch and moan about it.
But you have to fix it somehow.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to send a message. You got to somehow bite the ship.
But if everybody's siloed off, you know, if everybody's sort of in their own little bubble.
What was that word?
Siloed.
No. We don't have silos.
We don't have silos.
We brought in Mayo. There's no more silos.
I mean,
they tore down the silos.
There's some silos.
I think they're building them back up. I think Mayo, honestly, has like cement blocks, and he's stacking them around him every day. He's like, I am so sick of everybody around me. I need a silo. I need a place just my own.
Yeah, big silos, water towers. They're projecting MAGA off the water tower now, just like in that town. It's a whole big thing.
You got to make it political.
Right,
cue the text. And
me.
Let's go to Brian.
That's a good drop. Well done.
In New London. There's some good drops coming from Andy Hart today. Let's go to Brian in New London, who has a thought on the Patriots coaching. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. This isn't really technical or anything like that, but I just don't see much in the way of animation from the coach. I mean, the guy, he's probably a real nice guy. He speaks well, but he is absolutely stone-faced on the sideline. It doesn't matter what happens in a game. He's got this stone face. And
yeah, he looks a little like a deer in headlights, and I don't know that he's speaking all that well either while we're on that subject.
No.
I mean, you know, I don't think speaking is something that he's excelled at this year. He has to walk back every single thing that he says every single day, it seems like.
I mean, he says it clearly when he says it the first time and then when he says the opposite the next day. Both are very clear.
It's true.
But I think part of speaking well is
Not having to clarify every single thing you say every day.
Getting the proper point
across. I find that to be very
That was not speaking well.
No, it is. Listen, we all doing our best out here, but I sort of agree. I think that, you know, that's the stone face thing on the sideline. It wouldn't bother me if it seemed like there was something going on there. It doesn't really seem like much is happening at all. And I know we're only getting, like, brief reaction shots on the sideline. We're not following him and watching him all throughout the game on the sideline and seeing every single thing that he's doing. But it does sort of seem like, you know, it's just he's watching. Like, he's right there watching. We're all kind of watching together. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I got to do something here. You know what I mean? And he springs into action and calls whatever defense he's going to call or brings guys off the field or makes a substitution or something like that. But it does seem like he's watching a lot of the time.
Absolutely. But that's kind of by design. Now, it's not working. But I think he said he wanted to be sort of the CEO-style head coach. And I have an offensive coordinator. He coordinates. I have a defensive coordinator. He coordinates. I'm going to let those guys coach. But it's not working, and when it doesn't work, what does he like to say? He's in a solutions business, so he needs to find a solution. Do you know who the wide receivers coach is?
No.
Tyler Hughes. Doesn't matter. That's not who I want to talk about.
I was going to say Tyquan Underwood, but I know he's not the main guy, right?
He is the assistant wide receivers coach, and this is probably not fair. He needs to do more. A, he's a former player, and not only that, he's a former mediocre player. He is.
Yeah.
He's a former tweener, bottom of the roster, depth chart kind of guy. Wouldn't he be a good guy to tell these guys to shut the hell up, to know your role, shut your hole, get open, do what you need? Like, he was not. It's not like he, you know, Dante Hightower was a great player. Gerard Mayo was a great player.
Right.
It's not like you have Randy Moss as your assistant wide receivers coach and he can't connect with KJ Osborne. I mean, KJ Osborne's a little more accomplished than him, but they're both lower end players. Shouldn't he be able to reach them somehow? Isn't that why he's probably here on some level?
I don't know. Maybe he's just there to teach him footwork or how to grow a cool flat top. I have no idea.
Is the footwork good?
No.
Because I watched a guy fall down on a two-point conversion.
Yeah, no,
I watched another guy fall down the middle of the field that I missed live. I think it was Booty, actually, where, again, my guy Chase Daniel doing a great breakdown is like, hey, I'd prefer you not fall down when you're the go-to guy on this route. And he was very unhappy as a quarterback. But
is Underwood the only ex-player on the offensive coaching staff? I think he is, right? The only, because who played any time recently. I don't think Brown's there anymore.
Troy Brown's around.
Is he part of the offensive coaching staff? I don't think he is.
He's in skill development.
Okay, so there you go. On defense, there's Hightower, who you mentioned.
Yeah.
But it's not a lot of ex-play, you know what I mean? It's not a lot of these guys who were there in the trenches, which is interesting considering the head coach is one of those guys.
And
you think you'd want a bunch of ex-players on the team, but not really.
And I think a guy that is an ex-player with the cool hair but needs to do a cool job and maybe reach the receivers. Because that room, I don't know. I don't really know much about Tyler Hughes, but the poor guy's overmatched right now. I mean, we can talk about Alex Van Pelt, but Tyler Hughes is literally sitting in a smaller room with just the receivers.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what those bitch sessions are like?
I cannot.
They would fit in here at 5 o'clock. Yeah. That would be the bitching hour. He's trying to show film. He's trying to get them better. And they're like, why didn't I get the ball here? Why don't they throw to me more? Hey, did you see that catch, Tyler? I made that catch. Can I get another? Like, he's like, can we just have a normal coaches meeting right now? Can you guys stop for 5 seconds bitching about your own catches, your own targets, and your own worries?
Hughes just comes to film. He just presses play and then just sits in the corner and wishes he was somewhere else.
Yeah, as much as
like
I think.
Like a substitute teacher. He just puts on the video.
Just he's a broken like, yeah, stuff's watch it. Flying around the room and he doesn't care. He puts his pods in and he's just like playing
spit
like
balls
music.
Are hitting them and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
and he's just got the babbling brook in his ears trying to get peaceful in his own little way there. Maybe he has a little flask in the drawer that he pulls out as needed.
Sounds like a good time.
Sounds like a terrible job. Would you want to coach these receivers?
Definitely not.
And I mean, no disrespect to Tyler Hughes. I don't really know what his track record is, but he's probably regretting this job right now.
I would imagine. Tim's in Hanover before the break. Go ahead, Tim.
Gentlemen.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, I just want to see Andy. You're right, man. They got to go trips.
Yeah.
They have to. They got to spread it out. Reason why is they're going to get a serious pressure on May. May's got to be on his game. He's got to have his run game down and keep that ball out of his left hand. I hope he does that, and he's gonna get out of that bad habit. That's the only bad habit I see him have right now. He cleaned up all the other ones. So let's see what happens, and I don't think Rodgers got it either. I think Rodgers is done. He reminds me of Cam Newton when he lost his right before he got traded to the Pats.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. I think Roger's still better than Cam Newton, but...
Well, he is.
But you know, we'll
you
see.
You get the point. He's not what he once was. Superman
Agreed.
Is dying. Superman is broken.
It's appearing to look that way. Superman just, you know, playing for the Jets.
That's what happens.
That's what happens.
Jet sign Superman all of a sudden, you know.
It does.
Everybody's got kryptonite.
Annoy me a little bit because I kind of mocked some Patriots fans that were like, oh, no matter what, the Jets are going to Jets. Aaron Rodgers will never win there because they're the Jets. And, well, maybe they were right.
Yeah, sort of looking that way. 617-779-7937. Quick break. When we come back, the Bruins scuffling. Going to try and switch that up tonight at home against the Dallas Stars. We'll get into why they're scuffling and a theory that was posed by Elliot Friedman over at Sportsnet up in Canada that I agree with 100%. We'll get to that next.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Last game was against the Nashville Predators. It was an ugly one. They get blanked 4-0 by a team that had not won a game yet. And again, it's early in the season, and I don't want to make it seem as though I'm giving up on this team or anything, but it has not been a particularly auspicious start. And there's a couple of reasons you could point to. I think one of them, though, comes to us from Elliot Friedman over at Sportsnet Canada, and it's one that I really agree with. He says, the eye test isn't pretty, but the theory is that the Bruins' two games with Florida messed them up. And they played him twice in the first week there. The playoffs are for taking numbers and dealing with things next season. Bruins desired that. It was a pointed topic of discussion. But the Panthers beat them twice and did not allow Boston to gain any satisfying measure of physical payback. Any arguments so far? I mean,
nope.
It's exactly what happened.
It's what it looked
it's
like.
100% what happened out there. There's been a lot early. Jeremy Swayman's contract stalemate. Montgomery going hard at Brad Marchand on the bench. Yelling doesn't bother me as long as it's a rare occurrence. I'd be more worried if it happened often. It's early in the season and starting already, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
Friedman goes on to say, a couple sources pointed out that they don't like coaches only make examples of young players or fourth liners, and Montgomery isn't afraid to criticize his star. That's not something I'm particularly bothered by, but again, we'll circle back to that. They don't look like themselves, but repeatedly made us look like fools for anticipating their demise. High IQ team that isn't itself right now and needs a restart. Again, personal opinion, says Friedman, but I thought those Florida games really threw them and reminded us that the Panthers are still a force. That may not end up making a difference when the season's all said and done, but as far as the start to the year, it's hard to really discount what those two games were, how much of an impact they had on the Bruins and what they thought this season beginning was going to look like or at least feel like, even if you lost those games to the Panthers. You know, you expected them maybe to go a little bit differently. You got nothing out of those two games.
Mm-hmm.
You got beat on the road. You got beat at home. You watched them raise the banner and they beat you. Whatever. I mean, it was bad all around. And I overreacted to it maybe a little bit, but I do think that there was some more weight to those games than there would have been if it was two games against any other team in the league. You know, the Florida Panthers, that's the team that's ahead of you right now. That's your current boogeyman du jour, and the Bruins have a new one every couple of years, but right now it's the Florida Panthers, and that was a tough, tough start, and I think that that's affected them, absolutely.
And he makes the leap from the Panthers to the Marchand thing, which I think is a pretty big leap, actually.
Yep.
But, you know, we all do it to make points and pull things together, tidy up. But I also think that could be an example of the lame duck coach feeling his lame duck status and trying to, hell, we've been talking about it. Maybe Gerard Mayo should actually do some coaching. Is this an example where maybe he lashed out a little extra to sort of emphasize that I am doing what's required to pull out of this? I am coaching the hell out of this team for a better look. I'm showing you what's going on. And that doesn't happen maybe if he has a contract. And if he's not, he's playing for his job, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's no other way to look at that.
He's like coaching for his job, but yeah.
I mean, coaching for his job, mm-hmm. Sorry. But playing the games for his job, like that reality. And there's been a disconnect right now between maybe expectations and results. And maybe it'll just all play itself out sort of organically. The slow start with the goalie, who somebody got on me all pissy earlier. Like, I don't think Swayman's been terrible, but I don't think he's been great.
No, he's definitely not been great.
And
I thought he was good in that Nashville game. I mean, he was under siege the whole game, and I thought held his own pretty well. But
the reality is, the stat I cited is goals allowed over
expected goals, right?
Like, yeah. So, like, that takes into account everything. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't always buy that crap. I just want to be honest here. When I shoot it down and now I use it for an argument, I'm, like, kind of being a little bit hypocritical or whatever here. But that's taken into account, Texter, in terms of that stat. And I don't think he's been great. So when he plays better, okay. When the D in front of him plays a little bit better, okay, we'll take a step forward. Maybe if the first line, whatever formation it takes, starts scoring goals, like that'll each one of those incrementally will take some pressure off that may be building early in a season for this team. But there's no way you can look at those two Florida games in a week and say, yeah, that's not a big deal. We're not worried about that. Like, no, history doesn't matter. We'll be fine. Those are just two games out of 82. No, they weren't. They were more than two games out of 82, especially when they were two out of your first four.
Exactly. And I think if you asked anybody on that Knicks team right now or any Knicks fan, how'd that feel getting you embarrassed by the Celtics on opening night, watching them raise the banner, and then go out and beat you by 30, and they're hunting the record and chucking up threes with Xavier Tillman at the end of the game? They'd probably say, yeah, you know what? That's a little different than if we went out there and lost to the Sixers last night, or the Bucks, or the Pair, whoever. They spent an entire offseason trying to put a roster together to compete with the Celtics, and the Celtics dog-walked them all up and down Causeway Street the entire night. It was great. But, you know, like, you know what that feels like, and you know that that can throw a team off, especially a team with big expectations, and the Bruins always have that. And now that it's the Panthers, or the team in front of them, that's a team that last year they competed neck and neck with for the Atlantic Division basically all season. This isn't like some team that they're never going to see. Like, they're going to be looking up and down at them in the standings all year long. And right now they're only two points back. And that's the other thing. Bruins are not off to a great start, but no one really is. No one in the Atlantic Division is off to a great start. The first place has 9 points, and I think last place has 5. So, you know, like, everybody's kind of right there in the middle. Everybody's right around 500, as Razor said earlier with Jones and Keefe, and I sort of agree with that. If there was one team that was just hit the ground running, like in the Metropolitan, I want to say it's the Rangers, or maybe, yeah, the Rangers are off to a great start. They're 5-0-1, and they've got 11 points, and they just look hot right now. Like, there's a team like that in the Atlantic, then I'd say, okay, you know, this start could maybe put them in a bit of a hole here, put them behind the eight ball a little bit. It's not a great start, but they're not behind the eight ball very much. They're a couple points back of first place, and I think that eventually things are going to start to straighten out. They're not going to play Florida again until, what, January? I mean, it's going to be a while before you see them again. So you're going to have to beat up on the Buffaloes and the Detroits and the Montreals of the world, and you're going to have to hold your own against teams like Dallas, who are coming in here right now, who were good last year and are off to a good start this year. I mean, it's as simple as that. Like, the Panthers are going to be your boogeyman, but you have to worry about all these other teams now. You can't be going out there losing to Nashville, getting the turnovers against Utah, which is what Montgomery was yelling at Marchand about there, a turnover that led to a goal, to the Utah Hockey Club. I mean, this is, you know, you gotta take care of that business at least.
And the comparison to the Knicks, the difference is I would give them a pass for the whole in their building, banner, energy, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you played them a week later, and you also got smoked.
Right.
So you had your chance at home. Like, you had a chance to change something, and you didn't change anything. And so the narrative is what it is. And you're right. They are actually fortunate that they are in the division they're in, because 11 Rangers 5-0-1 atop the Metropolitan, and then out west, Winnipeg 6-0. You could be in a division where the team is 6-0 or 5-0-1 Calgary. So you're kind of fortunate you're in a place where you can dig a little hole, and it's not that deep of a hole. Yeah, early in the season. Because remember the old days, it was like, whatever you do by Thanksgiving, and I don't know if this still holds true, that's where you were. Like, the NHL standings were...
Not Canadian Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving.
Right, U.S. Right. Thanksgiving. Yeah. Well, I mean, Thanksgiving's not that far away, right? We're a month away. Is it
close?
Probably a month from... It's probably a month from today.
Thursday? Yeah, it's Thursday.
It's a Thursday? So. It feels like it would be a month from today, so...
I believe that's right.
Yeah, you might want to snap out of it and start playing better hockey. And some of the new guys... There's Zadorov. I think there's some criticisms of him that he looks a little. You've mentioned this, the bigger, slower, like they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like one of those guys, bigger, slower, not overly athletic. That is playing a role. But I also would just get back to, if your stars play like they're supposed to, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
To me, that's how I would set, like, put it all down. This isn't the Patriots where you have to search for answers.
Right.
I think I know the answers. Their names are Swayman and McAvoy and Pastrnak, Lindholm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they make a lot of money, and I expect them to play. Marchand, like, they make a lot of money, and I expect them to play well, and they're not playing well enough right now.
We have a little bit of breaking news. Don't hit the sounder.
Ooh.
Adam Vinatieri will be the Week 8 Keeper of the Light for the New England Patriots when they get smoked by the New York Jets.
Famed Indianapolis Colt, Adam Vinatieri.
Yes.
Played more of his career in Indy than in New England, Adam Vinatieri.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean to... Can I ask why? Like, isn't there usually kind of a tie-in or a, I don't know, is there a reason? Is there an anniversary? Is there a specific?
I'm not aware of one.
So it's just like,
that's
hey, he's
not
available?
Added in the tweet. It just says that we think it's a good time to announce the goat emoji is coming back. At Adam Vinatieri will be our Week 8 Keeper of the Light. And then there's a graphic of Vinatieri with no helmet on, but he's wearing his jersey and jersey pants. I don't know when this picture's from. He's gone very gray, hasn't he? Isn't Adam Vinatieri like basically like white hair at this point?
Well, yeah, but he's also gone very Joey Sly. He's jacked.
I know he's jacked, that's for sure. Absolutely. But in this picture, his hair looks pretty dark, so I'd imagine it's an old picture.
Older.
But it also, it's hard to say. He's a kicker. You don't know what kind of pads he's wearing.
Well, they're doing like much like that Guns N' Roses song I just played yesterday. They're looking into the past and just trying to get any kind of spark to get the fans into it, you know?
Agreed. I think that's
I'm not
probably
sure going to do it.
Get a little pop there from Adam Vinatieri.
No
there
disrespect to him. I love him. He's a Hall of Fame kicker. I believe he's going to go in the Hall of Fame next summer. I think he'll be part of this year's class, and he deserves to be. So make sure you vote that
Might
way.
Be the biggest cheer you hear all day.
No.
For Adam Vinatieri.
They're going to be cheering the best quarterback in the NFL. I'm going to keep upping it.
Best quarterback in the history of the NFL. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll continue with our Patriots discussion. Not so much this Adam Vinatieri thing, but the coaching experience in the locker room, something that has now become a big point of contention, something Adam Schefter talked with us about yesterday, and we'll get to that next.